Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze that blows.
Of course, you know, what the hell is going on here? It's just quite the market activity. Basically, if you went to a library, that would be the kind of action we're getting right now. We're seeing virtually no action from a trading standpoint. We're seeing markets that continue to kind of vacillate, pushing towards that new high, and of course the NASDAQ makes new high after new high. Sound familiar? Is this a replay? And of course we're not seeing it go up as crazy as it did back in the day, but it is going up, and it is a little bit kind of wacky as to what we're watching. And I think the more interesting thing that we look here is the actual overall diverging markets that we're seeing as we continue to watch the NASDAQ push up to new highs. And of course the Russell has been strong, but is showing some signs of weakening. The Dow has, you know, we got within 37 cents or so of 20,000 and now has kind of slowed down. And of course the S&P is slowed as well. But, you know, I would not be surprised to see them punch two new highs. I think it's interesting that the big talk on the street today is the markets are going to sell off on the inauguration. And history tells us that happens as well. And my history tells you that when everybody expects it, it's probably not going to happen. I think this even ties into, you know, kind of what we're seeing now. Everybody believes that there's going to be a correction, including me. But again, the overall action is continuing to keep markets higher. And I think when you look around, there is not a real logical reason for the markets to be going up as they are. But again, markets do not announce themselves. They do not tell you what their intentions are. They do not tell you what their plans are. They just continue to do whatever it is they decide that they want to do. And really, they is what? They is the money. They is the people that are investing. And they are more interested in. And what's really kind of nauseating is the idiot economists who are idiots to begin with. All right? Let's face it. If you go to school to want to be an economist, in the way that we know economists, you're going to be somebody who has no clue. You know, it does nobody any good to be able to recognize, for example, a bubble after the bubble's over, right? The advantage would be to be able to anticipate the bubble and then say that we're having a bubble and we need to adjust it, not let it blow up and then say, oh, well, we had a bubble. I mean, isn't that stupid? I don't get that part of the scene. I think that overall you've got a situation, and I think this is the problem that we've created among the economy and among the markets, is that we listen to people that couldn't find their way out. If you drop them off in the middle of nowhere, they couldn't find their way home. And this is what happens when you try to run a massive business out of a textbook. And these are the things that I think disturb me, is why is it that we cannot face the facts of what's going on? It would be much easier to be able to fix things is if you admit you had a problem. You know, what do we have? We have to have the 12-step program of being an economist, being an idiot. I believe that you don't succeed, and there is not one business in the world that could succeed running like we run. And you know, you can either put it to the Fed, the government, any one of those groups that continue to spend more than they take in, but because they have the ability to create money out of thin air, it becomes a problem. Now, you know, I know we've got issues, and the sadness I feel about all of the issues is that they could be solved, and they could be solved relatively easily. And I think that the mistake we're making here is that we could solve the problems with a lot less pain if we would just address them and say and get them over with, versus continuing to try to defend them and to ignore them. And you know, these problems, this economy needs to be redeveloped, redone, and we have to say, okay, we have to make some tough choices. Now, do you mean to tell me that we would have less jobs today, the crap that we have, if we decided not to continue to try to kick the can down the road, try to make this Keynesian economy work? Again, I'm not saying that something else is better. What I am saying is that what we're doing now is not working. And, you know, President Obama, who, you know, gave his speech last night, told you, you know, how much he did. And again, I'm not taking it away that he did a job, what he did. I don't think he did a very good job. That's my opinion. However, I don't blame everything on him, and that's where the issues are. There has to be tough decisions, just like the tough decision that had to be made in 08, which I believe to be the wrong decision. I believe the decisions are still being made wrong. I think we're still overlooking the real facts, and the real facts are is we are in trouble from a macro standpoint, and we need to make the proper adjustments to get past this. But you cannot tell me that there isn't going to be some pain or some fallout. But again, you have to take some pain. You have to go through the DTs, okay, to get through and get to get healthy. And that's where I think the biggest mistakes are being made, is the health and the wealth of the economy are being ignored because nobody wants to look bad. And again, this comes back to more of a political angle. People don't want to lose votes. But we already saw that that is changing, because look at the major votes this past year. And the major votes this past year were for change. So people recognize that the system we have sucks. People recognize that there has to be changes. And the only true changes are to bite the bullet and say, hey, we're done, let's get it over with, and let's move on. And until we do that, until we decide that we have to move on, we are going to be continued in wallowing and vacillating in this ridiculous environment of bullshit. But, you know, that's what I see, and that's what we need to fix, and that's what I hope that we get to, because that needs to be done. But what else needs to be done is we need to take a break. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and LibertyTalk.fm gets you all the information you need, but it does get you the download of The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekend. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. It is whenever a controversial topic on TV. They don't let me talk. But fortunately, I can talk about it here. And, of course, we saw last night Mr. Obama, President Obama's speech. I thought it was okay. I mean, you know, I think he always has been a great speaker. I think he had, you know, obviously he had a very friendly audience. But, again, this is not the point. I thought that he could have done a little bit more for Trump. But he did talk about the peaceful transfer of power, even though his audience booed, and I think that that was good. I think that he did do some good things that will hopefully let these idiots that continue to shriek and cry and try about what's going on. And I think that is what we're the, one of the bigger problems. You know, when you look at what's going on in the country, and of course, you know, we've said it here for a couple of years that there will be a revolt, another revolution in this country, and I think this is just the start of the potential revolution. You know, it started with the cop killings. It now has the protesters at the hearings. It has the stupid-ass Meryl Streeps of the world whining. And those are all things that are perfectly inbred to bring a potential revolution to this country. And this is where it's got to stop. I mean, I don't know if anybody watched the hearing yesterday. I thought Jeff Sessions did a very nice job. I thought he kept his cool. I thought he did great. I mean, but can you imagine they grilled him for 12 hours and it kept coming back to race? Now, everybody who knows him says he's not a racist. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not racist together, but I don't believe him to be a racist. I believe him to be a guy trying to do a job. And I think his record speaks for itself. And I think his statement that he will uphold the law as written, whether he agrees with it or not, was important. But in the meantime, you've got these idiotic senators, Durbin from Illinois and Feinstein and all the others that, you know, again, I don't understand how ignorant these people can be. There should not be, we know that you want your party to be in charge. Everybody knows the competition, the game. But now your party is not in charge. So as a politician, whether you be a Democrat or a Republican, it is not your job to help make the country better. And what we have is a bunch of politicians that don't want to make it better. And again, this goes to both sides, because in the summer when they had the hearings on Hillary, now I thought she was guilty and I thought she should have been, you know, done more for her. But again, the Republicans tried to rip her, and the Democrats kissed her ass, and that is where the bipartisan has to start. Okay, and see, it should be about doing the right thing for the country, not the right thing for the party, and I think that's where I really get upset. Is okay. I know that the election we run by party, I know that we have a representation, but those should be in involved. But the key is that they need to try to come to some resolution for everybody. Okay, I mean, you know, the Democrats, just when they're in office, don't just represent the Democrats, they represent everybody. The Republicans don't just represent the Republicans, they represent everybody. The conservatives, the independents, they represent everybody. And again, it would be a much smoother transition if we had people that would just try to get along, and instead of holding each other, and again, I don't put, this is either side of the aisle, hostage to get something passed. I mean, is it not, do we all not want to do the best for the overall country? Do we all not want to do the best for the overall economy? And I would hope the answer would be yes. I'm not quite so sure that that would be the answer, but it would certainly seem logical to me that if we did and handle things that way, then we would not have half the crap we have going on right now, and we wouldn't have half the mess we have going on right now. and we wouldn't have the division of people. I mean, can you imagine? I wonder how many divorces are going to come out of this last election. And that is not supposed to be the way it is. We are not supposed to be drawing army lines or enemy lines within the election. Once the election is over, it should be one for all and all for one. Okay? And that's not the way that it is right now. And that's where you see these morons that are screaming out at these hearings. I mean, can you be any dumber than to do that? I mean, it's like, okay, I want to get arrested because I want to be a schmuck. Okay, now I don't know about you, but if I'm going to get arrested, I mean, I'd like to get it worthwhile. And screaming out in a testimony of Sessions and anybody else who, you know, the rest of this week, you know, we see it. And talking about racism and all this other stuff is not going to get you anything but arrested, okay? And either you'll get some jail time or you'll get a big fine. And to me, that's like stupid. That's like throwing money in a garbage can because you got to get a lawyer, you got to go through all the crap. And for what? Okay? Because so you could mouth off and show what an ass you actually are by doing that. That's the problem with America today. Is we've got such a division, and the way that people protest is a way that pisses off everybody instead of logically putting together the process. We have a bunch of idiots that decide that they want to, you know, try to screw up the system, and that I think is where you really run into a problem. I mean, again, the ignorance of some Americans and certainly these protesters are just silly. Now again, I mean, these are like the asses of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. I mean, you know, can we be any dumber than to follow? But that this is the problem, especially in more challenging times when you have things that are not going well. People are more susceptible to being led by the nose to do something stupid that will get them really no value, but it brings a lot of noise and a lot of news coverage to something that is just stupid. And that's what I don't see as worthwhile. Again, I just think that if you're going to continue to be ignorant, all you're doing is continuing to keep the separation of actually trying to make things better, work together, and clean it up. And that, I think, becomes the overall bigger mess, the bigger problem, is that we do not work the system the way it's supposed to be worked, and we don't do things the correct way, which means that we end up with a bunch of dumbasses running around creating trouble and some of it obviously very bad trouble, and you continue to work these people up into a frenzy, and you end up with people that are dead. And then of course you've got the last two things, the asshole senator who's going to testify against another senator, and of course the picture of the depicting the cops as pigs. Now again, I don't say all cops are good. Not all of anything is good. But I will say this, that anybody who is a police officer, military, fireman, those people put their life on the line every day for you. Whether they sometimes cross the line or not, I get that. But at the end of the day, okay, for all of the people that are out there defending you, the number of ones that may or may not be bad are still putting out their lives in line. And there's a better way to go after it than shooting them or depicting them as pigs or any of those other things. To me, again, that is just ignorant. It shows no class, but that's the way it is. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. I want to make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm to get everything you need for your entertainment day as well as your news. And that's where you can also download The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break. And we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz, and Well, I think there's some interesting things going on. I think that yesterday I was on Varney. Of course, I didn't get a chance to talk because they don't like me when I get too controversial about certain things. But I thought it was interesting that we have the public aid now. The food stamps are going to be able to be used online, and I'm hoping that they put them online for everybody. I'm hoping that they make it an online process, because let's talk about what that does. All right. We've many times talked about how the system gets scammed on a regular basis. I mean, obviously the government is easy to scam. There's too much red tape. There's too many things going on, and there's nobody watching the back door. Okay. So, you know, guaranteed, you know, and I don't know what the number could be, but I guarantee you it's the number is gargantuan in what we get ripped on, okay, from a government standpoint, what gets stolen. But a lot of the programs, and one of them is food stamps. Now, again, I'm not against helping people, okay, if they need help. I'm not against the ability for people to do things, okay? But what I do want to know is, why do we pay for people that don't need it? And the food stamp program, right now they use what they call a link card, or like a credit card, and you get X amount of dollars put on that card and you can buy food, which is obviously we all need to eat, and I have no problem with it. But on the link card, you are not allowed or not supposed to be able to buy alcohol or tobacco, which I also agree with. Okay. I mean, I don't think that I should be subsidizing somebody's alcohol or tobacco habit. But you and I both know that, of course, the big chains honor that because they're afraid of being investigated. And, you know, Walmart, is being punished by the foods, by this new card to be online. But I'm sure Walmart can sell them online as well. But the problem is that a lot of these smaller grocery stores, you know, they had no problem selling people with the link card a beer, you know, beer, wine, or alcohol, or tobacco, because they're just worried about their own independent profits, and they can certainly ring it up as something else and not show it. And I think that will be a very big boom, and I think that is a big advantage of an online business now, is to let these, make all of these things go online so that we can actually track what they're buying, so that we know that you and I are not financing the tobacco and alcohol habit of people. Because certainly, if in the city of Chicago, for example, a pack of cigarettes in the city itself is like $13. Now, how many meals, if you're using diligently, can you get from $13 at the grocery store? And that, to me, is a problem. And it's always been a problem, which is why I've always said that, you know what, if you're going to get benefits, I want you going for a drug test. Okay? I mean, again, I'm not going to say I'm not going to pay the benefits, But for me, for my money, okay, I want to see drug testing. You know, you're on the company payroll. Okay, great. I have no problem. Just all I request is that you get tested before you get your check. Okay, I don't want to feed your coke habit. I don't want to feed your gambling habit. I don't want to feed your your weed or coke or whatever the hell you're doing. Okay, you need food. I'll help you get food. And that would be almost the better story. Instead of giving him the money, is to give him the product and open up a couple of stores. But of course, that would cost more money. So that has to be done. And I think that would be a great potential item. Now, on the bright side of the world, okay, from the dark side to the bright side, small business optimism at 12 or 13 year highs. Now, that in itself is no big deal. But I think that small business does have a right to be a reason, not a right, but a reason to be optimistic. And I think the reason is simple. Okay. If we are going to get rid of some of the regulations, if the banks are going to be able to free up more capital to lend, if the banks are going to be lending to individuals, well, what does that tell us? Well, I think it tells us that, hey, now we are going to have a position that small business can now exist again. And this is the problem that nobody talked about the entire 8 years of Obama destruction, okay, of the small business, is that when you bring in small business, what do you bring in? A, you bring in new tax revenue, but B, you bring in jobs. Oh, my goodness gracious. If you bring in jobs, and small business tends to pay a higher wage. Why? Well, because small business typically has to have people that can wear more than one hat. And when you're wearing more than one hat, you generally will get paid more. And, you know, that's, you know, in a small business, you know, the vice president's also a warehouse guy, right? And so if we can create this new potential liquidity from the banks, okay, if we can provide the newfound models and we do actually go back to that story where a small business can get a line of credit without having to pay usury rates on a credit card, that will create more entrepreneurship, that will create more businesses, that will create more jobs, and all of a sudden you can have an economy that can start ticking in the correct direction again instead of in the direction that is of no return. And I think that finally, you know, small business should have some optimism, again, if we can get all these things true. Because as I always say right here on the Bubba Show, is it always comes down to money. And if we're not going to see money, then we're going to have a problem. But now, with the potential of less regulations, which then would bring in more potential, would bring in now more potential business, more new business, okay, who can then borrow new money. And what do people do with money? They then spend it, because now if you're building a new business, whatever, be a service or whatever, you're going to have to rent office space possibly and pay employees. All of a sudden, things start to look a little bit better. So there is a good reason for more optimism, because, again, if banks are going to lend and free up liquidity, then guess what? We're going to have some people spending some money. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay. And let's hope that that is going to be the direction in which we're headed, because, you know, printing money is not an answer because it doesn't circulate, but creating jobs, that circulates money. That could bring back the velocity of money and the flow of money, that can bring back the middle class. And if you bring back the middle class, what are you bringing back? You're bringing back retail. Okay. Now, I don't think retail as we know it today will still be around. I do not. I think you will have less and less stores. I think we're going to probably go down to, in my guess, we're going to go to basically some boutique stores. But I think the days of the big you know, the Macy's, the JCPenney's, and stores like that are going to be limited down. I think that Best Buy actually had the best business plan back a few years ago when they decided to get rid of a lot of their stores and cut down the size of their stores, and they may have to go one step further. I mean, some people like to see a showroom to see what they're getting, but for the most part, people want to be not inconvenienced by having to go to the mall. Listen, you buy a big TV, you got to pick it up, you got to carry it, you know, you buy it online, boom, they deliver it. So I do think that, unfortunately, the days of the shopping malls are dead. I think that most malls will be something else in the next 5 or 6 years. But again, I think that there is enough online and there is enough business online. And of course, if they're smart enough, you know, and the Walmarts of the world and the Macy's of the world and all those guys are smart to be competitive online, then I think you're going to see a much better ending. And I think we can see some movement in that direction. I mean, I'm an online shopper. You know, I go to the store once a year. Well, I go more than once a year, but I mean, to do any shopping, I go once a year. And that's just because it's Christmas and I have to pick the things up. I can't order everything online. Okay, but, you know, other than going to Walgreens, you know, every couple of weeks to pick up all my candy supply that I keep in my office, I don't ever go to the store. Okay. And believe me, I would never go. I mean, my retail experience is I go to the gas station and get coffee every day. And I go to Walgreens about every couple of weeks. And, of course, unless I need a prescription or something. But, again, I only go out of necessity, not because I want to. And that is the difference in the shopping today is no longer is it the event that people used to want to go to. Now it should be it's mostly for necessity. So I think those are some things that, you know, we look at and we should focus on. But I do like the idea of putting all of the food stamps directly online. Gives them a better track, will save a lot of cash, and actually help the people it's supposed to help. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com and check out what we're doing. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm, the best station in the United States of America. Liberty, remember, Liberty for All. And, of course, you can download The Bubba Show there, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekend. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And it's time for me to go visit our friends at Rural Rally Radio, my buddy Marlon Bowling. And, of course, this was this morning because I wanted to get the update with all the crazy action going. So let's go to Marlon Bowling right now.
Chicago, see what's going on in the markets here today. It looks like the grain market's just kind of treading water here right now.
Yeah, good morning, Marlon. They're a little bit soft overnight, but they've done, you know, pretty well. I mean, you can't really take away from, I mean, the action in corn and in wheat has been pretty solid and has rallied right up to, you know, what we would think would be a resistance level that we continue to try to break out from. And I do believe eventually we'll break out from these and go higher. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some churning action. I think that yesterday's close in the beans over $10 in March was important, and we'll see how that reacts. But the only real concern I have in the grain space is the soybeans. I mean, you know, 10 to me is a key number, and then 10-20. And if we can get past and stay over 10-20, then I think we'll be in good shape. But if we don't, I think there could be some issues and some problems to the downside.
All right. So we talked a lot about the rebalancing going on by the big commodity index funds. Where are we in that? Are they done yet? Are they finishing up? Is it going to take all week or what?
You never know with these guys. I think that if they can figure out the way to make it to go in their favor, then it may take a little bit longer. But if it's not, then they'll just get it done right away. You know, I'm not a big fan of all this stuff because it seems that they figure out an edge for the fund itself. And that is always an issue in my mind. So I don't put a lot of a stock into the rebalancing nor the fund itself.
All right. What's the last you've heard about growing conditions in South America? There was a lot of concern about that here like a week and a half ago with some dry areas, some flooded areas. But so far, it seems like if you average everything out, they're actually increasing their production estimates, aren't they?
They were a little bit lower, and all of a sudden they're catching up. And again, you know, this is always news that I believe has been kind of priced in to the markets. And I think the markets are telling us that, you know, no matter what they're really reporting, is that maybe they're not quite as good as they're letting on here right now. And maybe that's also to try to keep prices down. And I think that, you know, the markets figured out. And I think that's why we saw, you know, some higher prices coming in. And just, you know, the last, you know, last night and today is where we're really seeing a little, maybe yesterday a little bit of pressure. But overall, I think that, you know, you see pretty solid and pretty firm prices here.
Do you think that was a disappointment to the trade that we had overnight export sales of corn, 370,000 tons, I believe, that were sold the previous day, and yet the corn market could not even trade steady on the day yesterday? That had to be a little bit of a disappointment.
Well, yeah, Monday night. But again, remember, I think this is where I talk about the flow of money and where I talk about expectations. I think that the street kind of figured that, knew that was coming. And which, hence, we had, you know, a pretty good rally coming in. You know, remember, we've come back from, you know, 350 and got all the way back almost to 365 again. And that was a spot where we would expect something. So we saw some push into that. So, again, the actual day after, I believe that the number, the information was already priced in Monday during the day when we were higher going into the report. And the report was, it came out exactly as expected, which created just a little bit of selling.
Okay, I want to follow up on that in a little bit. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We'll have a whole lot more to talk about when we come back right after this message. On the Wednesday morning edition of Commodity Wrap, I'm Arlen Bowling with you, joined by Zach Troutman, who's running the board for us today. He's our producer, engineer, and on the phone, we have Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We were talking about the corn market a little bit ago. Todd, do you expect a flurry of cash corn deliveries here now that we're past the first of the year?
I don't, you know, actually, I think a lot of people are holding back. I think we're going to see, they might even create a little bit of a shortage here. I think that's one of the reasons that we're seeing, you know, prices kind of maintain. I think that, you know, a lot of people that have a chance to store are storing it, as long as their cost isn't much, if they can store it, you know, on hand without having to pay storage costs. I think they're going to try to hold and wait for higher prices.
And on the wheat market, we have really taken out about, looks like on Chicago wheat, about 4 cents overnight. Kansas City, about 5 cents overnight to the downside there. It looks like maybe conditions are improving for the wheat. And, of course, the jury is still out as far as if producers are going to maintain all those acres or not this spring.
Well, you know, Marlon, I think, you know, it's funny. Somebody had emailed me yesterday or texted me yesterday and said, you know, what about wheat here? And I go, we're right up against the top here. This should be a natural spot to look for some selling pressure. And sure enough, here we are. And you look across the board, I mean, March and May, we're both up against, you know, what I would consider resistance from a technical standpoint. So the sell-off here doesn't surprise me at all. I think really what we're creating is another buying opportunity, because I do believe wheat has a tremendous potential to go significantly higher before it's all said and done.
So what's your take on the finish on the livestock market yesterday? Man, we had a big turnaround in the cattle market after the end of the year. You know, it looked like we had a very negative reversal. But I know some analysts, you may have been included in that, I can't remember, were saying, well, when you have extremely thin volume like that, you didn't know if you could read too much into that. But here we went just churning ahead yesterday and took those highs out. Now what does that do to the technical picture here?
Well, it was really interesting, and I think they trapped a lot of shorts. I think that, you know, after the key reversal that we looked at, you know, on the lighter volume, you saw, you know, we opened a little bit flat to lower, and all of a sudden they took off, and it was like, you know, I was on with you yesterday morning, and from that point on, they went like a jackrabbit and exploded to the upside. But I think the important thing here is I would call this a blow-off pattern. I do not believe it's going to hold. Now, again, it can be irrational and go higher longer than I think it can, but the pattern yesterday was a blow-off, and we had the biggest volume day yesterday since May. So,
really?
Yeah. So that was, to me, that's an out and out. We call that a blow off, a panic top, where buyers were covering shorts. They just couldn't take it anymore, and they obviously exploded their way out. And I could kind of tell by a lot of the reaction of people that I talked to that were awfully nervous with that explosion to the upside. And I think that, to me, now we'll see how we do go this morning. There could be a little bit of follow through here, but I would expect that we're very near settling and either going sideways for a while or actually seeing some sort of selling. I mean, I'm still believing that we need to come lower But again, we could pause here, go sideways for a couple of weeks, and then take off again to the upside. But I would think more of the former, which I think we'll see some selling coming in.
Well, now, just to take a little closer look at that, you're saying we had the highest volume in the cattle market yesterday since May, but you're thinking that maybe the open interest may have been shrinking that much?
Well, or, you know, it's really just a matter of, you know, where the the outstanding positions were. Now, we had that key reversal, and I think you saw a lot of people load into some short positions, and I think that they were forced to get out. And that's, you know, one of the problems. We call it in the business the tap on the shoulder, and I think there was, you know, a little bit too much out and a little bit too much over margin, and I think what you really saw was a squeeze, which created extra volume here.
So what about the hogs? Are you a fan?
No, I'm not a fan. I thought that hogs came right down to a perfect spot to bounce from, and I think they can go. I think it's 66.50, I'm a seller. I think they go lower. I think they're going to go back and test that bottom. We're in a pretty solid consolidation range here, and I think they'll churn, and I do eventually think they'll break to the downside before going higher. But I do think we're going to see lower prices. But if I forecast for the year, I think it's going to be a great year for farmers and producers, but I think we're going to have a little bit of trouble coming in here fairly soon.
Interesting stuff. Well, Todd, thanks for all the comments today. Wow, a lot to consider now moving forward. Todd Bubba Horowitz has a terrific website. You need to check it out. It's called BubbaTrading.com. Go visit it and actually get in touch with him. You can talk with him one-on-one, too, about the markets. Well, we'll pause for a little break.
And, of course, the markets have been acting a little crazy. And with that big volume day yesterday in the fat cattle, I think that, to me, that indicates a blow-off pattern. I think the grains have acted, as I said, very well, and I'm very confident. And we're going to see, you know, what the overall view is from here. But I think that certainly, in my view, I'd want to be, if I was a trader, I'd be trading from the short side. Oh, I am. I am a trader, and I am trading from the short side. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do like higher prices in the future. I just don't think, I think we've gotten a little bit too pumped up here. And I would certainly look for some selling pressure almost across the board, but really in the cattle markets. And that's really what it looks like. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and LibertyTalk.fm is the spot where you can go to download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting On Gentlemen Weekends. That'll do it for today. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy. Thank you so much for being here. Always great to be spend my afternoon with you. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Every great day, everybody. See you tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.